welcome everybody to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today's March 10th, 2018, and the show is going to be a busy one today. It's always, it seems like 2-3 weeks before I get to the mic. I'm so anxious to get back on the air and tell you all the things that I've got going on. And it takes a lot to get this show going on. You just had the inaugural sports show just before this one, and I'm sure they did a lot of prep work for that. It's not easy to do a show for 2 hours, so I get all excited and pumped up to bring you interesting information, and this week is no different. Now, before I start my day, like I always tell you, every week and every day, I get my fresh cup of morning joe from the CEFCO Hilltop here in Cameron. They've got a special going on. They got those Hostess single-serve cakes, and they're 2 for $3, and if you know anything about eating those things, they can get expensive, so that's a good deal. 2 for $3, and they're right there at the counter, so check it out. We're also simulcasting on KMIL right here, 105.1 FM, and then also in Rockdale, KRXT, 98.5 FM. So check it out. All you Rockdaleonians, give us a call here. Say hi. The number here is 254-697-6633. Also, give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Go to the website, aaronsgunshop.com, and go to the Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel. Tons and tons of videos, interviews, demonstrations, product demos, the whole works. You'll get a lot of information off those sites, so check it out. Let me give you an idea what's coming up in today's show. As always, true stories of self-defense from the Concealed Carry magazine. Now, not only are these stories like good learning tools, it's also going to give you a window to things that you may never have thought about. So be sure to make some mental notes on stories that we read today. Today's License to Carry and Attorney segment is going to be a little bit different. Attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson was having auto troubles. He was down in Houston and got stuck in Houston, so he won't be on the show today. But we're going to play a repeat, and we're going to have Super Attorney Rick Dodd, myself, and Attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. We're going to be talking about POT. We're going to be doing POT today, and POT stands for Perception of Threat. So that'll be a good replay of that. Then, I want to go over some topics of interest and upcoming events with Aaron's that you can participate in, so get your calendar books open and ready. This week's Tactical Snacking segment with Janae Goodman will go over the spring planting season, what to harvest from the fall and what to prepare for in spring. And at 11, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the man of manners, the communicator of common sense, the epitome of encyclopedia and all-around good guy, Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. Today's product spotlight, sponsored by A&C Firearms and Heidenhammer, is the CZ Scorpion Pistol in 9mm. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a sexy firearm, and you can see it now if you go to the aaronsgunshop.com Facebook page. I got a picture of me holding it there. It's a pretty nice gun. And you can like us while you're there on Facebook. So give A&C Firearms a call right now at 254-983-4417. Tell them you want it. Go over there and buy it. It's awesome. And I'll be doing a review on it a little bit later on in the show. My special guests today will be Denise Sims and Renee Grope. And Renee, I hope I pronounced your name right. They're the owners of Love Unique Creations in Temple. Denise has been on before talking about engraving on different types of materials such as metals, plastics, leather, wood, and so much more. So if you have a special piece that you want personalized, I'm sure Love's Unique Creations can give you some great ideas on that. Then, to end the show, Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, Master Key is going to once again give us words of wisdom and tactics for self-defense, and is going to use me as practice target, and I know you all like that. So with that, let's get this show started, and we're going to start right off the bat with true stories, and these true stories are coming from the Concealed Carry magazine, the February-March issue, and story number one reads as follows. The first story is always hard for me to read because they use microprinting, so hopefully I can get this. Armored car driver defends against sledgehammer assault. After exiting his armored car to pick up money at a Chicago currency exchange, the car's driver was assaulted by an unknown man with a sledgehammer. Though struck in the back and neck with the sledgehammer, the driver was able to draw his weapon and shoot his assailant 4 times, stopping the incident. Responding police found suspect near the scene of the crime, bleeding from his bullet wounds. The armored car driver will survive the attack, but sustained what are being called life-changing injuries. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my expert commentary on story number one is, this is a perfect example of how it doesn't always have to be a gun the criminal is using. Since this happened with a sledgehammer, I feel we need to ban sledgehammers, or at least reduce their weight so they don't inflict so much damage. Or better yet, only let certain people use sledgehammers, such as police officers, firemen, or women, or whatever. As ridiculous as that sounds, it's just as ridiculous to propose that about firearms. Notice how I snuck that in there. Story number two. Indiana man foils residential robbery. An unidentified armed man entered the Hammond home at about 7:30 a.m. and announced a robbery, herding three residents into the basement where the robber claimed a safe was to be found. The robber was unaware of the fourth person was in the home. The man took up a pistol, and when the robber entered the kitchen from the basement, shot and mortally wounded him, ending the incident. Responding police questioned the defending shooter and other residents, then released them without charges. My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, the robber apparently did his homework as to where the safe was, but lost accountability when it came to how many people were in the house. So lesson to be learned here, whether you're friend or foe, is to be sure your reconnaissance is accurate. Story number three. Michigan concealed carrier fights back against robbers. Two Detroit men, one carrying under a Michigan concealed carry permit, were accosted outside a convenience store by two men who demanded money. When the permit holder saw a pistol stuck into his face, he knocked the gun away, drew his own pistol, and fired on the robbers. In the ensuing exchange, the armed robber was shot multiple times, and the victim's cousin was shot four times. Both wounded men are expected to recover. Both robbers were arrested. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, a gun in the face is definitely not a laughing matter and can make some victims freeze. Not this victim, however. He kept his wits and he kept his life. Very good for that. Now, today's fourth and final story. Armed Texan citizen stops sexual assault. An Austin man was jogging one evening when he heard a woman screaming nearby. Shining a flashlight in the direction of the screams, he saw a female jogger on her back on the ground with the man on top of her. Drawing his legally carried pistol, the Good Samaritan ordered the attacker off the woman, who immediately got up and put distance between herself and her attacker. When the woman was momentarily between him and the gun, her attacker, naked from the waist down, took that opportunity to run off, taking with him the woman's shorts and shoes. The assailant was captured the next day, sleeping next to a different part of the same jogging trail. Now, my commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, is this what they mean by keep Austin weird? Ladies, in these times that we live in, if you're going to jog in the evening on a wooded trail and don't carry some form of protection, and I'm not talking sexual protection, you're crazy. There are many options out there for you. Start doing your homework and find something that works best for you. Okay, so that covers the true stories. I hope you learned something from that. We can always learn something. I know I always learn something. And one of the main things I learned is a reinforced belief that have a firearm on you some way or another. Okay, now, I'm not going to let you down. As always, I've got an opinion, and this week is no different. And some of you might like it, some of you may not. Today's opinion piece is called, entitled, Political Correctness. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who favor political correctness, you know who you are. The PC crowd, the ones who get their feelings hurt over the slightest little thing, the whiners, the ones who think everything is so unfair, the ones who want to change long-established customs because of wording, logos, or ideas they find questionable, the ones who look at flags and find them threatening, the men and women who cannot look in the mirror and see who they are, the ones who wet themselves at the sight of a gun or their own shadow. For you, I've got something to say. I'll make it clear and easy to understand. Please, just go away. Your twisted minds and thoughts are destroying this country. And those of you, and to those of you who are not politically correct but are stifled because of it, you need to slap yourself in the face and wake up. You're not stifled because you agree with the political correctness. You're stifled because you're scared to death of being shunned, called out, or even worse, sued. You've all been snipped, cut, or neutered. There's a difference between being courteous and being politically correct. Being courteous shows a sign of good upbringing and maturity. Political correctness shows the lack of it. It shows me you cannot think for yourselves. that you must have a collective mind because the PC mind can't think for itself. Your type cowers at life. It really is nauseating to watch. Let me give you some examples of political correctness. One, any term using the word man as a prefix or suffix because it's not politically correct, such as manhole cover, is now called a maintenance hole or a utility hole. Two, a school in Seattle renamed its Easter eggs to Spring Spheres to avoid causing an offense to people who don't celebrate Easter. Three, some places forbid Santa from saying ho, ho, ho because it may be derogatory to some women. Four, some schools have a holiday tree instead of a Christmas tree. Five, some children's team sports don't allow winners because some may be upset if they lose. And the list goes on and on and on. If you are politically correct, or if you're a scared follower of political correctness, you are helping the demise of this country. This country is getting soft, perverted in its thinking, and weakened in its defense. So I'll try to close this opinion piece without offending anyone or hurting anyone's feeling by saying this. To you, the PC crowd, shut up, suck it up, and get a real life. Because the life you're living now is shameful as a true American's. Trey, let's take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to have a pre-recorded session with Super Attorney Rick Dodd, Attorney Extraordinaire Ben Ross Watson, and myself. And we're going to be doing some pot for about 25 minutes. Perception of threat. So we'll see you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035. It's a trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap and Mitchell Radio Program. Again, it's March 10th, 2018. The number here at the studio is 254-697-6633. Remember to sign up as a subscriber to the YouTube channel at Aaron's Gun Shop. Like us on Facebook. Lots of stuff going on the website there. You can check it out. Now, once again, attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson has having auto problems, so he won't be able to come in live today. So we're going to do a replay, and it's going to have myself, super attorney Rick Dodd, and attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson talking about pot, perception of threat, and the laws pertaining to it. So enjoy it for about the next 25 minutes. Go ahead, Trey. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. My gosh, what a surprise. Today, I got both attorneys in here. I got attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. I got super attorney Rick Dodd. My gosh, we have a tag team. Guys, how you doing this morning?
We are unreasonably close here in the studio, ladies and gentlemen.
Good hygiene is very important. When you watch this on YouTube, you get to see it.
It's good to be here.
I had asked the question of, well, first of all, we all do pot in this office here, okay? We're all doing pot all the time, every day. Pot is perception of threat, P-O-T, perception of threat. And so I was asking these gentlemen here, okay, a person who's being assaulted, aggressed upon, or whatever, has a perception of the threat. And then if it has to go to court, the court's going to look at it and maybe possibly see a different perception of threat, one that may be equal to what you saw, less than what you saw, I don't know, maybe even more than what you saw. So I wanted to have a discussion about that, and these guys are armed and ready to talk about it. So guys, when'd you hit it?
I went to law school because I couldn't stand lawyers, so I usually have a different perception than every lawyer in there is also what the law is. But you start from the standpoint of, you know, what is the legal standard? And the legal standard is going to tell us basically what perception is, and that's whoever's looking at the trial, whatever they want to believe is what their perception is. And so the standard says reasonably believes the force is immediately necessary to protect the actor against the other's use or attempted use of force or deadly force, depending on which situation it is. So reasonably believes, okay, is one ambiguous phrase. And then you have immediately necessary is the other vague, ambiguous.
Yeah, we've discussed that word.
Phrase. Okay, and so I think that what is perceived as reasonably believed, okay, and then immediately necessary is an objective subjective standard or a subjective objective standard that's almost impossible to predict or for me to tell somebody what they should do in a self-defense situation. But we know, and I talked about the Hamill case on here. If anybody's a routine listener, that's where
they're all routine listeners.
Yeah, well, I mean, some people have other things to do in their life, but anyway. but if you missed the Hamill case, it's just basically an ex-boyfriend comes over while a guy's trying to help the girl move out because he's a domestic violence perpetrator. The boyfriend was, and the guys, you know, tell him, you know, please leave. You're causing a scene. And he says, well, I got a gun in the truck, and if you don't calm down, I'm gonna show you how I can use it. And then the guy kind of leaves. Well, the dude that's helping the girl move is worried that the guy's going to go get his gun in the car and kind of runs up behind him and stabs him several times so that he can't get to the car.
Sounds like a reasonable perception to me.
Well, it was a strange case. I love this case because it goes up on appeal. He loses in the trial court because the trial court denies him a self-defense instruction. They don't allow him to use the defense of self-defense because there wasn't any evidence that the violent perpetrator boyfriend actually used force against him or was attempting to use force. It was simply leaving. But it's not about what that evidence is. It's about what your belief is.
Yeah, because the definition, as you read, is the actor, his belief.
The actor's belief. And so that's what I'm saying. You're asking the jury to decide what a reasonable person, but in the actor's position, might do. And he had an apparent belief that the individual was a dangerous person. And there was evidence that he was a dangerous person. He had made somewhat of a threat. And then he took some sort of substantial step. I mean, some kind of action, right, that would have given that apparent belief some kind of credibility. And so I don't know that he would have won, but he definitely should have been given a self-defense claim. And so I just start from that standpoint. And then I'm sure Rick's going to jump in here and give us a whole bunch of good circumstances. But then you've asked me several times, and you always ask me these ridiculous questions. But
it's funny you say that. You know how many people say that? Where do you come up with these questions? I go, I just have an active mind, man.
Well, all the cases that we see are so different. I mean, in every case you look at, it's ridiculous. That's why it went to the appellate court.
Right.
Wait. The other reason why I ask these crazy questions, because ever since you guys come on the show, I start realizing that black and white law that we're looking at is twisted, and it's not black and white. It's gray.
Yeah, and that is true, and it's because, right, a lot of this is going to be fact intensive based on perception. And so you ask me, well, what, you know, would a person be able to do this if he didn't have a gun? We talked about Big Lou, my buddy, biggest guy in the NCAA at one time, right? If he doesn't have a gun, does that mean that somebody else necessarily couldn't use a gun? I think that it may be reasonable under some circumstances for, you know, a 5-foot-nothing guy that's that's never been involved in any kind of violence, if he's going up against Big Lou, to use a weapon, right? Considering a weapon, Big Lou was shot as a bodyguard and still didn't kill him. Okay, and so yeah, you look. What is the size of the person? What are the circumstances? Is it a home? Is it a highway? Is it a bar? Right? What's the location?
Let me read this list real quick because this is kind of where we go.
Let me speak to what you just said. We talked about perceptions, and what we got to realize that every single person has different perceptions about everything. I mean, our perceptions are based on and come out of our life experiences. So, someone who has a life experience of growing up in a rural situation is going to have a different life experience than someone growing up, say, in the inner city.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll give you an example. I do civil law, of course, and Ross does criminal law, but in my civil law practice, we do things when we go to different jurisdictions. For instance, I had a case, a truck wreck case in south of Dallas, where my person was driving, and they wouldn't do anything wrong. They're sitting at a stop sign. But they had a little bit of marijuana in their pocket. So, you know, they found out about it, and for reasons I didn't get in early enough, that was going to be admissible. So we were really worried about that. So we did some focus groups in South Dallas, and we found out that the juries there just didn't really care. I mean, so what? So we had a little pot in his pocket. Big deal. Then I had one almost exact same circumstances up in North Dallas, up in the Plano area. We did focus groups there, and we learned that, hey, we better do something quick because the jury is going to kick us because he had some pot in his pocket.
I'm actually glad. I do some civil stuff, too, not as big-time cases like that, but Rick does do state planning, stuff like that. But from Rick's point, I'm glad he's here because I was actually going to mention people at times, the pharmaceutical companies, medical equipment companies, other commercial entities, oftentimes either get sued or they anticipate a suit in a certain location. And what they'll do is they'll go and have mock jury trials in the location to see what the local perception is.
Wow. Just
based on, and people don't know this. See, a lot of it, I'm sorry, this is my opinion. A lot of the legal system, in my opinion, is a con, okay? And a lot of the politics.
I look at it as a well-planned trial.
I'm not saying the whole thing, but there are a lot of things that are based on selling points, okay? And so they figure out what is going to be their perception, and they find that, well, I mean, look at jury consultants. That's why jury consultants get paid so much money, okay, from both sides. And nothing from either side. Defense firms use
it. But it's like a divorce, Ross. It's because it's worth it.
Yes, okay, I know. My got a lawyer used to say, why is divorce so expensive? And the person say, why? I say, because it's worth it. But you have these jury consultants because everybody has their own basis of experiences. And that's why what was the big thing with standardized testing, right, and minorities. That's why you have these advocacy groups that say they don't feel like standardized testing are fair to minorities, because the whole test is built from people with a different set of backgrounds, and they don't read the test the same. They don't have the same type of language structure. And so that's kind of the same thing. It's like you said, with the two groups that he had in North and South Texas. So you're going to have different groups, just like different squirrels over time.
Whenever I say the word bathroom, in our mind, a bathroom flashes. It's probably the bathroom that we grew up with. So it may look a whole lot different than your bathroom and your bathroom, so it's all a little bit different, even though it's the same thing. So you were fixing to say something about...
I just wanted to give the audience out there a concept idea of what we talk about in the class as what is perception of threat. The justification for the use of force is based on perception. And common elements that need to be analyzed before using force is the number, size of attackers, gender. Are there innocent bystanders around? What's the location that you're in? What kind of weapons being used? Mental states, a perceived state of mind. Is there a lesser force option? Do you have alternatives available? What offense was actually committed? Is there a verbal dialogue going on? Body language. I do a lot with body language. The clothing, gang members, colors. Is there any special skills? Somebody injured? If so, where are they located? How important is it to get them help? So there's all these different things you can look at that comes up to a perception of the threat, which may make you do one thing as compared to another.
So a lot of these perceptions for each individual comes into their life experience through television, through magazines, through newspapers. And a typical example is, imagine a criminal, and all of a sudden... You know, there's these face shots that you see in the newspaper. It's your perception, because that's your life experience.
You basically said it, but I was going to talk about an article too, recent published in by the Irish Republic newspaper, or whatever. But it said that it was talking about the internet and jury trials and how the internet has been affecting juries' perceptions. There's been several jury trials overturned in Ireland based on internet influence. And so,
you got a call coming in? All right, let's see if this is pertaining to what we're talking about here. This is Matt. You're on the High Cap Adventure Radio program. Who are we talking to?
I just don't think Rick's mic is working. Can't hear Rick.
All right.
Okay, we'll turn the mic up.
How's that? Is that better?
Is that better?
All right.
We got a delay. All right, we'll check it out. We'll make sure we
get
on it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so... I'm also glad that you talked about hearing noises outside and things like that. I was I know a girl that her car broke down between Milano and Cameron, and it's pretty late, and she called her parents and said, hey, my car's broke down, but then her phone went dead. And so her parents knew, and it was going to take some time, but they were going to come. And in the meantime, a car stops and a guy gets out and kind of starts, walking around the car. She didn't have her flashers on, didn't have her lights on. It was just pulled over waiting. And so, she felt like her life was about to end. Mm-hmm. Okay, and she's telling me about this. You can hear her fear in the story. And she jumps in the back and puts a bunch of clothes and blankets over so the guy didn't, see. Well, a family drives up and the guy suspiciously leaves automatically. And so that was a suspicious circumstance. But what if... what if she would have used force there? I mean, to her, that really felt like a threatening situation. But if she'd have killed that guy, right, you'd be looking at like, I mean, he didn't do anything.
I do this example in my class all the time. I say there's me, and I find the most petite, smallest person in the class. And I say we both got the same exact gun with the same number of bullets in them, okay, cartridges in them. And there's twin brothers, and they're 300 pounds, and that twin brother A wants to rape her. Twin brother B wants to rape me, okay? They're 24 feet away. She empties 17 rounds at 24 feet, and I do the same thing. And the question is, who's going to jail? And everybody goes, me. It's because I'm bigger. I'm more experienced. I could probably handle the situation better, where she's petite, freaking out. And so her perception of the threat was 17 rounds at 24 feet. So you're right. It all depends on that person's...
And I'm glad you talked, because I was going to mention one article, and it says, how reasonable is the reasonable man? That's the name of the article. It's talking about police and excessive force. I'm glad you talked about the police version this morning. But
I'm glad I could set you up.
Yeah, you did. It was like kind of like the telepathy here. But the thing about this is, there's a lot of statistics in this case. Okay, I mean in this study and in this journal that's a case study about all of these studies. But as a general standpoint, I'm just going to briefly summarize. Yes, there's sort of a lot of bias that goes into it. There was actually written from a police standpoint. He's actually advocating for the police in here, and he says, yes, you know, there may be some minority, a higher group of minorities getting an unnecessary force. There may be some bias on the part of the police, but you know, the standard of self-defense, you know, what is reasonably necessary or what is reasonable under the circumstances has been misperceived, misconstrued under legal standards, and it's almost unreasonable, because he says what has become reasonable has now become what is necessary. And I'm not intentionally advertising for you, but it really, I was really getting into this article, and it talked about, you know, situations where there's intentional police violence, or whether police really know what they're doing. It may not be intentional. They know that they're being excessive, and they know they knew they're having a bad day, and they just go do it anyway. And then there's just unnecessary violence, which is trying to get to a justified end, an outcome that is for a valid purpose, but they rushed into it because they're incompetent, because they weren't trained, mm-hmm. and they didn't know how to use the situation. And they go into all these factors about why it's important for training. And so I think that's why this show is so good, because I think everybody should take advantage of the training from you. And I think that they people like you or you, and they need to know how to use their weapon and how to assess the circumstance, because that's going to make them more able, okay, to be able to claim reasonableness in the situation. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to panic and say, or feel like they're not confident in themselves, right, to be able to use force. If they're confident, right, they're going to be more calm-headed, right, and more assertive and more, you know.
The more trained you are,
right,
the more time you have. The more time you have, the more options you have. And one of those options may be never having to draw your weapon in the first place. So that's where good training comes in.
Right, and that's what this article is saying. Yeah. But it still doesn't say that these police officers should be prosecuted, right, because maybe they're a little bit incompetent, right, in every case. Like maybe there's some cases, I'm sure there's exceptions to every rule, right? You know, even this one, right, is the exception to the, never mind.
Well, they are human, and we know that humans make mistakes.
Exactly. And so that's what the article is saying. And so you never know who's going to find your mistake as a reasonable mistake. Right, or one that is a necessary mistake, or whether the mistake was in the circumstances that were immediately necessary. And so that's why you do want to know what you're doing. You do want to take care of yourself. And actually, I'm going to say right here, if four other people want to take Matt's class, okay, on tactical, what is the one that we were talking about? That you were taking?
Self-defense home invasion seminar.
Home invasion seminar. If four other people want to take it, right, I will pay $50 each on their fee if they want to join me. So if you want to join, call them. I want to do it, and I'll pay. You know, I don't know how much it is exactly. And you're telling me it's way more expensive than probably what it's worth. But I want to do it. I think it's a good deal. He's charged. Got lawyer prices, folks. But
I think so.
If you want to do it, I encourage you to do that, and I want to do it with you. And so I'll pay $50 towards your fee. I would go do it, but he says I got to have five people, and I don't have that many friends. So I think if you want to, holler at Matt. If you want to holler at me, Benton@Watson.legal. Benton@Watson.legal.
Well, whatever it costs, it'd be worth it, because ultimately it's fun, but, you know, it could save your life. And, And I think a lot of money for that.
It's like estate and business planning. When I do this kind of stuff, I try to tell them, you need to do this stuff. Yes, there are several things that might not happen, but you're going to increase your growth and your wealth and your confidence. And if you have your confidence, you're not going to be subject or a slave to fear. And so I think that the more confident you are going into situations is always better. And I think that that's going to help determine your perception of fear, because you're not going to be, you know, subject to your own fears.
So one of the subjects you talked about was the perception then that the jury might have.
Yes.
And I would comment that that's the reason that we had 12 people on the jury, because all 12 of those people are going to have different life experiences. So the hope is that when you have 12 people come together to make a decision based on the facts, in other words, the facts of what happened in the altercation where you have someone who took someone else's life, and the question is whether it was reasonable, whether they were justified, that some of those 12 people would have very similar feelings and would see the circumstances as they were, as opposed to one person who may have grown up in a different area with a different lifestyle and had completely different life experiences.
Isn't there a common thread, though, that even if people, you know, you always get this story, you got the prosecuting attorney getting his people on the jury, you got the defense attorney getting their people on the jury, but isn't there, when it comes to this, a common link between the prosecutor and the defender jurors that sees that as just basic self-defense? It always seems like there's this political twist on things.
Well, I mean, the grand jury looks at it and sees if there's enough evidence to prosecute in the first place, to go ahead and charge an individual. And your idea about the jury selection is really a selection, a deselection. In other words, generally speaking, when there's a 12-person panel, each side gets six strikes. But during the process, say, for instance, it's a trial about rape. If there's someone who's been a victim on the jury panel, they probably would be what we call struck for cause. In other words, the judge would make a decision that that person could not be unbiased or unprejudiced because of their terrible life experience.
You know what's weird about that? You get somebody who has been raped to judge on a case of rape, and somebody says that may be, you know, unbiased. But then you got the person who's never been raped and may come up with a conclusion that is nowhere as close to the fear that that person who got raped had.
Well, so, I agree. That's
so everybody needs to be, you know.
I was told that, you know, if you have a panel of peers in your DWI case, they should all be drunk. So, you know, there's something to be said about that, right?
Yeah, I guess. Well, I'll tell you, look, we got about 5 minutes left here. I don't know if you still want to go on this particular part of it, but I also had here what happens after a shooting. I thought we could maybe give an idea, if you are involved in a shooting, what's probably going to happen in the legal process. For example, I got notes here. You'll probably be arrested or some form of degree, possible criminal charges, appearing before a grand jury, possible trial, possible punishment. Is there anything you can add to that or talk about to give people an idea of what they're in store for?
Yeah, Ross, I'm sure you've handled some of that, so you want to lay it on us?
Yeah, I mean, what kind of shooting? Does the person die?
I don't know, brother. It's all depending on each particular case.
Okay, so John Reddington was in here about a couple of weeks ago, yeah. and we heard him talk about the man who shot out the back of the window. I don't think he was arrested on the spot, okay? But they did present an indictment, and it got no build.
Explain what the term is.
So an indictment, if you get a misdemeanor, what they're going to do is they're probably going to charge you. You may or may not get arrested at the beginning, but, you know, let's say that you get arrested, and then you get out of jail. Well, they're just going to go file a complaint, and then they'll file another complaint, or what's called an information, okay? And that's your formal charge, and then you're just going to get a letter telling you to show up to court. You're not really going to know about the filing of the formal document, that's the formal charging document. If you have a felony involved, like if you shoot somebody, okay, what's going to happen is you may or may not be arrested in the situation. A lot of people don't, honestly, on the felony cases. A lot more on the felony cases don't get arrested. What they'll do is they'll have evidence on it, and they'll present that to the grand jury. Most of the time, in 90% of the cases, you're never going to know when they present it to the grand jury. They're going to present it. The grand jurors are going to decide, is there probable cause to arrest you? go forward with prosecution.
Why is somebody getting arrested with a shot out window, but in most cases, from what you just said, unless I misunderstood you, they don't get arrested if they shoot somebody? What did I miss there?
Well, the police may think there's a really good claim of self-defense, or like it's just a weak case, they're not really sure, or that, you know, they haven't directly caught the person. It's not like a traffic stop where they stopped them, the drugs are right there in the console, and boom, they arrest them.
Okay.
It's more like an investigation. We think that this person is running a child pornography ring because we have this person, we arrested him for child pornography, and he said he got it from this guy, and this guy said it was being filtered out through this computer system, and this computer system has this IP address, and the IP address is owned by somebody at this house address, and this house address is owned by this person.
Gotcha.
But there's four people that live in that house. But based on other evidence, we think it's this guy. So what they do, you know, they may not arrest anybody because they don't want to go arrest somebody, make a big deal about it, and then be wrong, right, and get no build. So they'll just present that evidence to the grand jury, get the grand jury to indict, right, say that there is probable cause. Or the grand jurors may say, dude, you don't have anything. There's four people in that house, and I know his brother. His brother's just as much of a POS as he is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so if you're not sure, right, we're not going to indict. So what they'll do is they'll no bill. Okay, and if they know Bill, the prosecutor is not barred from going forward again. They just got to go get a little bit more evidence, and then they can come back and try to get them later. And so you may or may not know that they're doing a formal charging document, but if you get indicted, you need to go talk to a lawyer at once.
And nobody else.
Okay, if you think that you're involved in a shooting where somebody is, you know, you actually shot somebody, again, I try to be a reasonable person, okay, and I try to follow the ethical rules. All right, you got to be careful not to waive your Fifth Amendment right, okay, but at the same time, cooperating with police is not necessarily a bad thing, okay, but I don't mind saying it. If you think you did wrong, okay, keep your mouth shut.
Absolutely shut.
I have you guys on the speed dial, okay, just in case.
I mean, but you need to. And it's not fair a lot of times because a lot of people have never been in trouble at all and are never been in a bad situation. And so like a really bad situation. And so a lot of times they do things that makes them look guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even though right, that they're not guilty. Like a lot of times that, you know, they'll try to hide the body. Right. You know, this happens.
Yeah, really,
this happens. People try to hide, right, the circumstances that they think nobody's going to believe me.
And
right?
Then once they do that, that's a big sign of guilt.
So don't do that. Okay, that does not help you.
And
right?
if you do get arrested and your wife comes to visit, you know, you don't talk about what you've been arrested for because all that's being recorded.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah.
I'll tell you what, gentlemen, we got to wrap it up. Why don't you finalize what it is? Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you. Parting thoughts. Go ahead.
Well, I'm Rick Dodd. You can contact us down at Capilino Dodd and Krebs on 312 South Houston here in Cameron. Everybody knows where we are. I've been there 35 years.
Benton Watson here in Cameron. That's my main office location, 105 East Main Street. It's got the big milk cow on the side. You can contact me at 254-605-4140, 605-4140, or hit me up on the email, benton@watson.legal. That's benton@watson.legal.
And this is Aaron's High Cabinet Radio Program, and we're right here at 105.1 FM, KMIL, and KRXT at 94.5. Check us out. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Guys, I can't thank you enough for being on. It was great.
Thanks to our listeners. Thanks.
Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to insure the good things in life,
697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capilino Dodd Krebs.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. We're live now, March 10, 2018, and we're on our Topic of Interest segment, and I just wanted to go over a few things that just happened. Like, last night, we had our monthly round-robin competition, and ladies and gentlemen, we had a lot of people, and they were all having a good time about it. And if you go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, you get to see who the winner is. Mike Wren won a nice High Point 9mm carbine. A lot of good competition. We had a runoff, and we had a couple of young ladies in there. I'm talking young teenagers, and man, they did an awesome job. I was so proud of them. They'd come in there and practice a little bit. They were just brave and did it and had an awesome time and did a really good job. A couple more times, they're going to be top contenders. So watch out, guys and gals who are competing. You got some young ones coming up on your tail there. Really good. So it's the second Friday of the month. It's our round robin competitions. Check it out. Go to Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel and look at some of the videos to see how that works. Now, today at 2 o'clock, I've got a license to carry class. I still have room in it. So if you need a license to carry and you want to take a class, I've got it. It's $60 for a new individual. If you have a license to carry and you want to do a refresher course, which should be everybody, the course fee for me is $40. It's a refresher course, and it's a great way to just up your game. So that's today at 2 o'clock. Give me a call, 254-697-4721. I'm on the air right now. Just leave a message. Tell me you're coming, so on and so forth. Or give me a call here at the show, 254-697-6633. March 16th is Ladies' Night. It's every third Friday of the month, Ladies' Night. So I don't care what you, what do you call it, Trey? I'm not up with his terms. Whatever your persuasion is. Sure. Okay, whatever. Whatever your persuasion is, I don't care. But if you bring a woman with you, she comes and shoots for free, okay? So if you're a dude and you bring a girl, she shoots for free. If you're a woman and you bring a woman, I don't care. Just the woman gets to shoot. She gets free range time. Seminars. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the High Cap Adventure page. We got all sorts of seminars. If you get a group of five or more, we'll square you away and get you an awesome seminar. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you something. If you were to take one of these seminars in a different state, in one of these high-class places, you're going to be paying thousands of dollars for what I give you for just a couple hundred. Now, I want to go over something pretty big here. I'm getting a lot of calls on one of my products. And one of my products that I sell is called a HARP holster. HARP. I initially called it that for holster for AR pistol. Because January 1st, last year they allowed open carry. And a lot of people have pistol-formed rifles, like an AK pistol, an AR pistol, the Scorpion pistol that I'll be talking about later today. The law states if you have a license to carry, you can carry a pistol out in the open, but it must be in a shoulder holster or a hip holster. I'll have this video on the YouTube channel and Facebook probably Tuesday. But what I'm showing to you now in the video, this is the Harp holster. And it's made by WRB, one of our former sponsors. Great guy, Bill Banlow. He makes these for me. I give him a design and he makes them. It's basically a long strip, couple pieces of Velcro, and three belt loops. And if you'll notice now in the video, when you see it on Tuesday or so, I've got my AR pistol on my hip. This is an AR pistol. And what's cool about that is it looks like a short barrel rifle. But if you had a rifle, you could carry it without the necessity of a holster. But due to the fact that it's open carry and the law states it must be in a holster, I've designed the holster that will work for an AR pistol or a rifle. It doesn't matter. It retains it. So the way it works is, you have your weapon strapped around your shoulder so it doesn't fall on the ground. But then, when you want to go outside legally, you put it inside your Harp holster like so. I'm strapping it across the receiver, the front part of the receiver, and it attaches to my body. It's very secure. I have it protected with my arms, and if I need to draw it, I pull the Velcro, and the weapon is ready to shoot. If you have an AR pistol, an AK pistol, or any type of weapon that is in pistol form from a rifle or a carbine, you need to get a Harp holster. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the products page, and check it out. It's an awesome product. It's basic and simple, and it gets the job done, and it's totally legal. And if you decide you want to walk around town with your AR pistol or AK pistol or whatever, you'll be totally legal and not get busted and go to the slammer and then need Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, one of our sponsors. So check it out. And Trey, we got the awesome, delicious Janae Goodman coming up now with a tactical snacking segment. And I believe we're talking things for spring. We're coming out of the fall, winter, and we're going into spring. So Trey, take it away. Let's get the delicious Janae Goodman on here and see what she's got to say.
Hello, my lovelies. Anyone else getting threatened by their allergies? Usually that signifies a switch in seasons for me. So this week, I want to feature some tips for seasonal garden changes. Let's spring into action. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. Why bother to eat seasonally anyway? A friend of mine mentioned that he doesn't really care to eat or cook seasonally, so why bother when the grocery store is fully stocked all year? Well, I'll give you three reasons. Freshness, taste, and cost. Foods that are featured during a certain season are at the peak of their flavor. They also tend to cost less because they're in more abundance. Not to mention that they're locally sourced because companies don't have to look further to source them. If you're one of my people who maintain a garden, it's as fresh as your produce gets. I understand that gardening can be tough work, but the payout is so worth it, especially after that first harvest. With the wacky Texas climate we deal with, our planting seasons aren't as concrete as what we typically would experience somewhere with seasons. So with that said, we'll still be harvesting some of our fall and winter crops. This includes Swiss chard, mushrooms, lettuces, brassicas, or dark leafy greens, such as broccoli, cabbage, kale, and cauliflower, snap peas, carrots, and radishes. At this time, I found that radishes, beets, and peas actually do pretty well in our climate. Late winter plants are still available to put in the ground, but you'll want to focus on crops with a quick germination time, meaning that they sprout within 30 days or so. Examples of these crops include radishes, lettuces, and Swiss chard. Your nitrogen feeders or heavy produce items should be about ready to come out of the ground if you haven't taken them out already. I know we've still got carrots in the ground at my school garden, and my class has just harvested cabbages and broccoli, so don't worry, you've still got a few weeks before things really start to heat up. After you harvest your winter crops, remember to rotate and fertilize your beds. Rotation allows your soil to have a rest and ensures that it doesn't lose any fertility. Planting the same crop repeatedly in the same spot tends to make your crop more susceptible to soil-borne illnesses. Remember those nitrogen feeders that I mentioned earlier? These crops tend to take a lot of energy to reproduce, so they take a lot of nutrients out of your soil as well. If you want luck growing anything else in your beds, it's important to fix the nutrients back into your soil. Beans and peas are both great sources of nitrogen, so you can plant plenty of those after harvesting your heavy feeders. You can also compost your soil to give it a boost. Now it's time to plant the eggplant, melons, okra, peppers, cucumbers, potatoes, and plenty of herbs. You can find a full list of items to plant in your area at almanac.com. And how could I forget tomatoes? One of my favorite crops. You'll want to get your tomato plants growing indoors in a warm area. These can be transplanted or replanted in your outdoor garden by the end of the month. If you're planning to plant multiple tomato plants, you'll want to give them plenty of room. If one tomato plant is contaminated by a disease or similar, it can easily spread to the other tomato plants if they're touching. Kind of like when someone sneezes and exposes surrounding people to their germs. When planting in the garden, be sure to place circular cages around your crop. Tomato plants can grow upwards to about 6 feet tall, and you know, you want to have that extra support. They enjoy warm weather, so keep your tomato plants happy as we get through this remainder of the winter. Wrap their cages. You can use plastic, tarps, bed sheets, or frost blankets, which can be found in any garden center. Spring is also a great time for a three sisters bed. There's an old wives' tale about three sisters who used to fight and bicker to the bone. Their mother was sick of it, so like any sensible parent, she found something to do. She brought the daughters out to her garden, showed them the bed of corn, beans, and squash, and explained that the crops would support one another. The corn was planted in the middle of the bed to act as a stock for the beans. The beans, as you learned earlier, fixed nitrogen into the soil. And the squash acted as a natural mulch or ground cover for the garden bed. Of course, all three of these plants can do fine on their own, but they're much stronger when they work together. Speaking of, don't forget to mulch your beds this season. If you don't plan to plant any squash, you can always do so with hay or dried leaves. Mulching not only keeps the sun at bay during hotter months of the year, but it also helps preserve water in your beds. Be sure that your ground cover isn't on your leaves of the plant, however. You want to tuck your hay or your cover underneath your crop's leaves, otherwise you risk wilting and rotting of your plants. As always, don't be shy. Email me at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com if you have any questions or comments for me. If you missed last week's segment on Superstar Sides featuring some of our fall and winter crops, be sure to catch it at thecultivatedclassroom.com. And until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. It's March 10th, 2018, and we are now in our product spotlight segment, sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer. Ladies and gentlemen, Arch Kuntz is the owner of ANC Firearms. He's a good friend of mine. I've known him for years. He's got a great business, great reputation. He's consistent. He's very kind, courteous, and able to do what a gun store needs to do. He's got pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, all sorts of accessories, and if he doesn't have it, he can get it for you. And right now on his shelf, he's got this CZ Scorpion 9mm pistol. It's a hot little pistol. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, you'll get to see a picture of me holding it. And I went to thetruthaboutguns.com to get a little review on it. And I've got some friends who've had the pistol, and they use it for their zombie apocalypse type of deal. But it's really an awesome looking gun. I'm familiar with the older version of the Scorpion submachine gun. Well, this one here is an updated version. So I'm going to read to you some excerpts from the Truth About Guns gun review, the CZ Scorpion. And this is from Kentucky Gun Company. Nick Leghorn is the one who wrote it. And he's talking about the gun that he got from Kentucky Gun Company. But here it goes. The new Scorpion EVO-3 is very nearly a completely different beast from the original 1960s invention. The two firearms share a common operating system, direct gas blowback, and a common manufacturer. And that's where the common features end. This new gun has been modernized in every way imaginable. The predominant manufacturing materials here are plastic, not metal. The outer shell, trigger, magazine, assembly, and grip are all made from high-grade polymer instead of a stamped sheet metal and Bakelite of yesteryear. The barrel and trigger pack are still metal, as is the massive bolt that keeps the thing running. But every part that could be molded or cast in plastic has been. Another major change is the addition of Picatinny rails over every inch of available space. There's a full-length top rail for mounting optics or sling accessories, and while the handguard is a separate molding from the receiver, the top rail flows seamlessly from one to the next. At the front and back of that rail are some custom low-profile rail-mounted sights, which are actually pretty nice and easy to use. The gun also ships with a hand stop at the end of the bottom rail to keep shooters from putting their hand too close to the business end of the firearm, which is definitely an appreciated addition. Ladies and gentlemen, this is me speaking. Yes, that's an appreciated part of the gun. It's the hand stop at the front of the barrel there. It's pretty good. Back to the article. There's an MP5 style charging handle set up on the gun. As on the MP5, the charging handle is not permanently attached to the bolt, allowing the gun to cycle without the charging handle moving at all. There's also a similar cutout at the rear of the charging handle's travel, allowing the shooter to park the charging handle for unloading the gun or malfunction drills. Slapping it downward releases the bolt in a satisfying 80s action movie kind of way. Moving a little further back on the gun, we arrive at the fire controls. There's definitely some more MP5 influence here, specifically in the shape of the safety selector switch. The magazine release is very European design, too, as it is integrated into the trigger guard. The inclusion of some ergonomic shaping around the release as well as some ridges made it relatively easy to use and easy to hit. Installed from the factory on the left side of the gun is a sling loop. There are a couple of alternate locations on the gun to mount this loop if the location doesn't meet standards, or there's an entire top rail to use if you want to go that route. Either way, weapons retention is definitely something that CZ thought about and included in their design from the beginning. The last major chain is the magazine. The EVO-3 uses its own proprietary mags. The magazines seem to reliably feed into the gun and are definitely pretty to look at. I'm going to give you some specifications on this gun. It's a 9mm Parabellum. Action is semi-automatic as compared to some law enforcement who say it's fully semi-automatic. What the hell is that all about? Semi-automatic. The barrel is 7.72 inches. The weight is 5 pounds. Length is 16.1 inches. The magazine, the proprietary 20-round mags. If you go to ANC Firearms, they've got one on the shelf now. And ladies and gentlemen, if you heard the show earlier, I was talking about the HARP pistol. This is a great opportunity for you to utilize the HARP holster if you want to carry your CZ 9mm pistol out on the street. You sling it around your shoulder, put it in your HARP holster, and you're good to go legally if you have a license to carry. So check it out. Give ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer a call at 254-983-4417. Talk to Arch, Mike, Clint, Dennis. Tell them you heard it on the radio. Go there and support the sponsors who support this show. Because if you like this show, the only reason it's on the air is because of people like Arch and all my other sponsors who keep us on the air. So I appreciate them. And please go to them. Stop buying stuff online when you could go to ANC Firearms to get the gun and support them. Okay? Check it out. You're going to like it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to talk to you about something before we go to the bottom of the hour break. You know, we all know about this shooting in Florida at the school and all that. Well, I got a few things here I wanted to mention. And the first thing, which I should have done last week, was there was an article here, and it says 15-year-old shot 5 times protecting other classmates from gunfire. A 15-year-old student who was shot 5 times during last week's, a couple weeks ago, or however long it's been, massacre at the Majority Stoneman Douglas High School is credited with saving the lives of at least 20 other students. A fundraising site says Anthony Borges was shot in both legs and his back while attempting to close and lock the classroom door last Wednesday. 17 people were killed. Borges' friend Carlos Rodriguez told ABC's Good Morning America that the two rushed to hide in a nearby classroom when they first heard the gunshots. He says no one knew what to do, but that Borges took the initiative to just save the other classmates. He told me later, he pretended like he was asleep. He told me later that I dropped the phone because I thought he was coming in and I wanted to pretend I was asleep. Ladies and gentlemen, I read that article because you had some law enforcement and security guards hunkering down outside of the building because, I don't know why, but you had this young man, 15-year-old, putting his wings around his classmates and protecting them. I mean, it's just an awesome story. Now, I want to show you what happens to people who do their freaking job. This irritated me. 2 Miramar SWAT officers suspended for heading to Parkland Massacre. This is March 7, 2018. Linda Trishiti? Trishita? I apologize, Linda. When a gunman started shooting at Majority Stoneman Douglas High School, 2 Miramar SWAT team members did what comes naturally. They went to help. Now they've been suspended for it. The officers did not have permission to respond to the shooting at Parkland on February 14th when 17 people were killed. And that created an officer safety issue and left them unaccountable for their actions, according to their police department. But their union reacted differently. While it may have been a violation of policy to notify their supervisors that they were going there, their intentions were brave and heroic, I think, Broward County PBA President Jeff Morano said Wednesday. The SWAT officers who responded were Detective Jeffrey Gilbert and Detective Carl Schlosser. One of them told supervisors he was in Coral Springs area when the gunfire happened. It's not known where the other drove from, police spokesman said. They were both close by the high school. A third SWAT member was accused of posting something on social networks. Ladies and gentlemen, you got four security personnel or four law enforcement hunkering down outside of the school when the shots are being fired. And you got two guys from SWAT who said, I'm going in to do what I got to do. And they get suspended. Call them up. Call that department up and let them know what you think. Those two guys are awesome. It's something I would do. Anyway, now, one other thing here. I saw this cartoon. Actually, Patty Mark, one of my consultants, she showed me this thing. This is pretty cool. It's a cartoon here. Saw it in the paper on the 7th. And the cartoon reads, there's two signs. One on the left and one on the right. And then Malford says something in the middle. The sign on the left goes, this school is a gun-free zone. The sign on the right reads, guess which school staffers are trained in carrying concealed weapons? And Malford says, if you were a school shooter, which sign would you rather see? So, ladies and gentlemen, you could post a sign, and the bad guys got to think, I don't know. It's just like with concealed carry in the state of Texas. Although you got some people who don't like guns and they're anti-gunners, because of concealed carry, in one aspect, they're somewhat protected to some degree. Because the bad guy goes, I'm in the state of Texas, and it's concealed carry. Does this guy have a gun on him, or does he not have a gun on him? Even though he's an anti-gunner, or she's an anti-gunner, to some degree, to some respect, they get some protection because the bad guy has to think once or twice before he does an assault on the individual. Does the person have a gun on him or not? So with the signs up like that, I don't know, that might be one of the best things you could do, one of the cheapest things you can do to help prevent a shooter from coming in the school and doing some bad things. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back on, we're going to have the awesome Renee Groppi. Sorry, Renee. I'm trying. And Denise Sims of Love Unique Creations. It's going to be awesome. So we'll see you on the other side.
Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. 4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
How power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. I tell you what, I'm a blessed man. I got an awesome board operator, Trey Wall, is taking care of it. I got two lovely ladies sitting to the left of me here. I've got Renee Grappi, and I got Denise Sims, the owners.
Yes.
Owners of Love's Unique Creations. Now, Denise, you came on last time, and it was D&L. You had a name change. Maybe you could explain that or whatever. But we've got him on here now because I've known Denise for quite a long time. She does awesome work, and we're talking about engravings and embroideries and all that kind of stuff. And because we're a gun show, a lot of it can pertain to knives and guns on the engraving aspects, and we're going to all talk about this. So, ladies, welcome to the show. Say hi, introduce yourselves, tell everybody who you are and what we're doing, okay? Remember, get to the mic.
Hello, my name is Denise Sims, and we have actually gone through a name change because I have brought on a new partner. So our name went from D&L Unique Creations that everybody has known us as, and we have just gone to our tagline of Love Unique Creations. We are located at 2219 South 57th Street in Temple. We're actually in the old 7-Eleven building, if you're familiar with that. And I've actually just brought on a new partner, and it's going to be Renee Grappi. She's sitting to my left. Renee, say hello.
Hello.
How'd you guys meet?
Renee and I have been working together for the last 7 months, 8 months. So we actually got introduced at a car show here at Star Hall. And so we will go out there every year for SPJST car show. And so we actually met out there. Renee was doing some work on the side, and I was doing engraving for her. And so we got to know each other very well. I was needing some help so we can expand the business, and she was ready for an adventure change. So,
yeah, I want to make a comment here. You know, I'm a businessman, and I think I do pretty good. I'm always trying to check out things and make sure I do it right and, you know, just do what I'm supposed to do to make my business work right. But I must say, when I see women who've got their act together, they somehow, some way, you ladies get it going. And I get a vibe from you two. You're harmonized. I can just tell. You're running on 8 cylinders here. And I know you, Denise, and I know your business and where it's at. But I can tell you got another powerhouse here. I think you guys are going to skyrocket. Why don't you tell everybody what it is you actually do and the different... I mean, you basically do this, but you can do all sorts of stuff on all sorts of things. Why don't we talk to everybody what they can do? Because this is a gun show, a prepper show, but you fit in perfectly because there's so many different aspects of that.
Right. Well, first of all, I would like to also, before I forget, to thank you, Matt, for bringing us on. And, of course, I would love to start out with bringing you a couple of gifts.
Oh, gosh.
So... the first gift is going to be our new slogan because, yes, our logo is a hot pink unipeg.
And hey, I'm so masculine enough to wear hot pink. Okay.
Some men are a little intimidated by that. So we've actually created a shirt for our men. And so I actually brought you one as a gift. And it says, "Real men support the unique."
Awesome. I like it. I love it. That's great.
That's going to be our new shirt.
And so I am secure in my masculinity that I will wear pink. It's not a problem. That's great. Thank you very much.
So we're actually going to be making up some of these for the shop for our wonderful loyal men's customer.
By the way, I love pink. Pink is good. Okay.
You would look good in pink. Yes.
You guys get that one. Okay.
On a serious note, you and I have talked before about metal engraving and mm-hmm. all of the aspects that that comes into. So I actually brought you a gift.
I've been harping on this thing for a while, huh?
Yes. What this is it's a compass that I have there in the shop, and I actually had to put the HiCap logo on there for you.
Is that why you were stalling?
Well, you know, I wanted to make sure that we got that so I could give you that gift.
That's awesome. Check it out in the video here. It's beautiful. I used to instruct hundreds and hundreds of military personnel on land navigation, combat land navigation, and so I'm very much into compass reading. And people say, why do you got a compass? You're afraid you're going to get lost? And I go, no, I'm not going to get lost at all. But that's great. I wear right here, I've got a compass on my wrist. So thank you very much. That's very nice, ladies.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
That. Awesome.
So, and that's just a part of what we do. And the cool thing is we are, we specialize in the unique. And so what that allows us to do is we allow customers to bring in a lot of their own items. So if you had something like the compass or pocket knives or metal objects that need to actually be engraved. So what I mean by that engraving is a lot of the people that are here in our area, they do a surface engrave that you actually see. It's done by a CO2 laser. This metal engraving is actually done by a fiber laser that we do have in-house. So we do all of our own engraving. And yes, it's done by girls.
Wait a minute. Denise, you had told me about that one time before, fiber engraving as compared to the other one. Clarify that a little bit more, because I knew it was pretty neat when you were telling me that.
Yes. So the fiber laser, actually what that does is it doesn't do a surface engrave. So like a CO2 laser would do. It actually is a permanent marking, but it actually removes the metal. So it is really good for...
Does it make it like... deep?
Yes, it actually etches into the metal so you could actually feel it with your
metal. Yeah, people
metal,
like that,
you
yeah.
know? So for a lot of, so if you're actually doing identification marking on tools even, so if you have like a bunch of Craftsman tools, you could actually come in and we could do a micro engrave on those.
Isn't that what you did on this one? Because I can feel the ridges.
Yes, okay. That actually is a metal engrave so you could actually feel it. It's actually etched into the metal, so it's a permanent engrave above and beyond. So we do tool marking. And it can actually do really pretty small. So if you have a problem where you're in a place that you want to make sure that your tools are marked or identified, but not so evident, then you can bring those tools in. We can work with you and get those marked. Along with that, you can do pocket knives. So with the pocket knives, it's not just on the casing. We can actually engrave on the blade itself. So with that, if you're engraving on the blade, that allows you to etch into the metal. So when you've got a whetstone, something like that, it's actually going to last you a lot longer with that engraving.
Let's talk about the materials that you can do. I know you mentioned a couple of things, but why don't we talk... Renee and Denise, about the different type of materials that you can actually do, because I remember you mentioned a couple of materials to me I didn't even think about engraving.
Right. So along with our metal engrave, we actually have a wide variety of things that we can engrave. The last time I was on the show, I actually brought Matt a stainless steel tumbler cup. That is one of our most popular things that we engrave on is, Arctics and Yetis and stuff like that. But above and beyond that, we actually open, we are open to engrave on wood. So that's cutting boards. That's different.
You made me keychains. That was very nice. Yeah.
Yes, I made wooden keychains that had the logos on there.
Mm-hmm. Baseball bats.
Yes, the baseball bats is another one. I've actually done some of those for Temple High School for graduating seniors to where you can actually personalize a baseball bat for a gift or even for, little leagues, that kind of thing that's to commemorate something, first home runs, that kind of thing. We can actually engrave on baseballs. So that's a leather product, so we can actually engrave on a lot of different leather stuff.
Let's clarify something on the leather. Are you burning the leather, or are you actually indenting the leather like you did with the metal?
Okay, on the leather, it's actually a burn. So it's actually just going to
like
brand and burn the leather. We have done gun holster straps, that kind of stuff where you can put, you know, names, initials, that kind of stuff on there. And along with the leather, you can do the suede. And the suede actually turns out really nice.
Really?
So, because it gives it a good, nice contrast on there. So I've actually done like suede little shoes. I've done
well, that's another thing. You could do like baby's first shoes and stuff like that.
Oh, all kinds of stuff. And
open your minds up. Open your minds up to you in a unique creation. I mean, that's a good name for the business, because if you can think it, they can probably do it, right?
Pretty close. So like a carpenter bag, that's something that a lot of people don't think about. Father's Day coming up, if you have somebody that's working in construction, you can actually put their name, logo, business logo on those suede leather carpenter bags. We can actually do leather work gloves. I've done some of those for farm and ranching, you know, for gifts and that kind of
thing. Can you do flesh?
I have done flesh. It's not something that's very preferred, but unfortunately, it was my flesh.
Yeah. Well, clarify.
Not intentional.
I mean, could you do that?
Actually, there is videos out there where I've seen that happen, but I've never done that intentionally.
Wow, that'd be awesome. It's almost if you numb it up, it'd be good.
Well, yeah.
But I mean, it's like,
it'd be
a brand.
Like a brand, but it does
exactly.
Get
exactly. It's like a brand.
Okay,
it gets hot.
Hey, man, just think. Okay, we got a call. People say, what the heck are you talking about? Let's take a call and see what this says here. All right, no worries. Okay.
So, but other than that, we try to keep our shop as versatile as possible. So, along with the engraving, we do glass engraving. So, you can do like the beer mugs, the wine glasses, you know, those type of things.
Hey, let me ask you a serious question here. I did a bartending job for a couple, and one of their main things was they had cigars. They had a cigar business. Could you engrave on, like, let's say you're doing wedding presents or wedding gifts. Could you do cigarettes, cigars on an individual basis? Could you do unique, I mean, unique, literally unique type of things like that? Is there anything you can't do?
It's kind of amazing at some things that we have engraved on. I've literally engraved on just about anything. I used to have a deal, if you're willing to bring it in, let me burn it up, then we can sure try it. So, but I've actually engraved pumpkin pies.
Really?
I've engraved hot dogs. I have engraved chocolate.
Seriously, your name is great. It's unique.
Yes.
So if somebody says, hey, you know, when they're going to give this hot dog or this cake as a gift, it's not just frosting on it. You actually had something specifically put on there that matches the person's desired event.
Yes. And that's what we're really... that's what we're really known for. There's a lot of things that a lot of people will not engrave on. With our experience, we have engraved on so many different materials that we feel pretty confident engraving in a lot of things. And so we not only do individual customers, but we also reach out and we do business. So I can do, you know, like a wholesale engraving if you have a lot of items that... I have a lot of businesses that they can find things at a very minimal cost, but they can't get their logo on it.
Do you do trophies? Because I remember when I met you before, we were doing the trophy aspect of it too. That was a big part of what you used to do, but that wasn't your business at the time. But now with what you do, are you more of the things that we've been talking about, or can you go full-scale trophies, plaques?
We do, because we can do full-scale trophies, awards, plaques. We can also do name badges. We can do door plates, name plate, desk plates. And then also the kicker with the metal engraving on our medals that you give out for first, second, third place, or soccer medals, we can actually incorporate logos on those instead of just the old-fashioned just, hey, this is your event, this is the date. You can actually incorporate logos now on the medals that you give out. So it just puts another personalization spin to something that you're giving out.
Can you do portable engraving?
We are working on that. I am working on the metal engraving. It is very portable, so I'm actually going to be working on setting that up. The thing with that is if you're going to do logos, that kind of stuff, that takes time to get set up and everything. But at our next event, we're going to try to bring the metal engraver and see how it works.
I'm just going
to
throw out a concept idea. Let's say on my car, I wanted to have my logo put on my driver's side door where you go to lift up the handle. Could you do something like that?
No, nothing like that. It would actually be something that would have to be removed from the vehicle.
Okay.
And I've done that. I have done like grab handles, that kind of stuff off of RVs, to where you're personalizing, mm-hmm. you know, and throwing some personalization to it. But that's what we try to do on it. Okay. It has to be removable.
All right, look, we got a few minutes left. Let's go right back now to the gun aspect of it.
Okay.
Without getting into all the details, let's talk about what you can do for guns and what you've done to guns and logos. And we also wanted to do what were we talking about? Where you mark them? What's the word you were using? You want to identify them?
Yes. You can do trust engravings.
Trust engravings, that's it.
So what we're going to do is we are working on moving forward with our lower engravings. So a lot of times when you've ordered a lower and you need to put it in a trust, so you have to have that marked, and it has to be done by a fiber laser or metal engrave. So that's going to be something that we're going to offer where we do trust engravings. And then opening up the market on that, if you actually go out to our Facebook page, you will see a slide that I done for a customer to where I've actually was able to mark the Mason logo on the slide and put the name on the other side. It actually is really cool.
Yeah, that was a 1911 slide I saw. That was on a stainless steel slide. It looked pretty good. What happens if you do a blued slide and you engrave? Does it just look black, or are you burning through where it'll become silver?
You actually burn through it, and so it actually will go down to the metal or the the mm-hmm. base product. And so that's the thing, is it actually will go down to the metal.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me explain something. Sean McVicker, an awesome individual. He's a master engraver that I know very well. It's a different type of engraving. Sean is actually chiseling out the metal and scrolling it out, whereas this is the artistic ability of the ladies putting it into a computerized situation and etching it. So it's going to be the same thing every time. If you want the same picture, it'll come out the same every time, whereas Sean's is a unique masterpiece. So
right.
If you want to mass produce or you want a specific logo, it can be scanned in, I'm assuming, right? Like the mm-hmm. the snake, the Gadsden snake.
Right.
Don't
or
tread
like
on
your
me.
Logo.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. Okay, what are we missing here? Trey, how much time I got? About a minute
about
or
10
two?
Minutes.
Huh?
About 10 minutes.
Well, we got Sandy Key coming on. So, all right, let's take about another minute or two and go over anything that I've missed.
Well, along with the metal engraving and then our just engraving in general, we also are a full embroidery shop.
Ah, that's it. Yeah.
So full embroidery, that means that you
and if
can
you're looking
do,
at the, if you're looking at the video, that's one of them they've done a long time ago for me, and they just do a fantastic job. But keep going. Explain.
But we do hats. We do towels. We do monogramming. We can do where you can bring in your own items. So if you have jackets and anything of that nature that you need to be embroidered, we can do that there. And then between our engraving and our embroidery, if we can't mark it that way, then like the shirt that I brought you, we also do heat transfer. So what that is it's anything that you don't get screen printed. So you have to have like 24 or more a lot of times to get screen prints. I deal with a lot of small businesses that just need a few shirts to get them going.
See, that's a big thing you've got, because I remember when I was doing property management, you got these big property management people that won't deal with anything less than a certain amount of square footage. And then we come in and we're getting all these personal private people's property. You're that type of person who handles the small person, which ends up being an incredible service to people out there.
Well, just like us, we're a new company. We've been in business now a year and a half.
She's a new company, but she's been in this for a long time.
Yes, my personal business has been in business for a year and a half. So I've actually done engraving and stuff a lot longer than that. And then our embroidery goes back to 2000 and actually before that. So it's definitely a growing process, but we are bringing on a lot of new items every day of what we can do. And now with Renee's help, you're actually going to see a lot of expansion in that. You're going to start seeing us at a lot of shows. That's all we ask is
you
just
really
to
need to
try
do
to get
gun shows.
Out.
I think the gun shows would be incredible for you once they see what you can do.
And that's going to be on our list of things to do because I'll actually be able to take the fiber laser out there and we can do some marketing.
Can you do on the spot right then and there?
We are going to start offering that long as it's not logos. Because again, going back to the logos, that requires digitizing and a lot.
Well, clarify. Let's say you were able to do that and you're at a gun show and somebody brings a gun. What could you do? Anything?
What we're going to do is probably just offer name markings, just something that's letter oriented, okay. That kind of stuff. But when you start putting in something like your logo
you
or somebody,
scan it in
yeah, that. So that's going to take a little bit more time, a little bit more setup.
Okay.
So that's not something we're going to want to do on the fly because then it's just going to, the people are going to just have to start waiting and that kind of stuff. And then also with that, we're going to start doing the, we can do small jewelry, that kind of stuff.
I'll tell you what, ladies, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, phone numbers, websites, whatever you got, and because we've got to finish up in just a second.
Sure. We are now Love Unique Creations, formerly D&L Unique Creations. We are on the corner of 57th and Scott in Temple. The address is 2219 South 57th Street, again in Temple. Our phone number actually is going to be 254-899-8151. I apologize. We just changed phone numbers, and it just kind of caught me off guard. You can still reach us at 254-231. No, I'm sorry. I know my own phone number.
What's the website?
Yeah. Well, actually, we don't have a website yet, but you can check us out on Facebook at Love Unique Creations, and we try to post everything that's new and fun that's out there. We'll also be posting our events that we're going to be going to, and you can actually go out there and look at that gun slide that we were talking about, and along with some knives and actually some bullet casings are out there too.
Okay, and I'll have this video posted up probably by Tuesday of this week. You can check it out, and if you need to link to it, you can go ahead and do it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's we got Denise and we got Renee. Awesome. I've known Denise for quite a while. She's awesome, and together I can feel the harmony between them. They're going to do really good things. So check them out. It's the old 7-Eleven there, right across from the new 7-Eleven. Okay, yeah. Down there on 57th Street. So we'll say goodbye, Trey. Give us a break, and when we come back, we're going to have Master Cindy Key probably doing some terrible things to me in a demonstration to help you survive on the street. See you on the other side. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company. For friendly service and quantity work, stop it at 408 West Bank. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bank.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
Welcome back. back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's March 10, 2018, and we're here now live with Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Ms. Key, as always, welcome to the show. What are you going to do now?
I'm going to use a knife hand on you.
Knife hand. Oh, I dread the knife hand. All right, Ms. Key, talk loud, let them hear it, and we'll show in the video probably by Tuesday or Wednesday next week.
Okay, well, we talked about pressing blocks before, which on a pressing block, your fingers can be apart, your thumb can be out, but it looks a lot like a knife hand. The difference being that this, if he punches, it's a deflecting move. Okay, I'm not trying to hurt his arm. It's a deflection. That's a pressing block. A knife hand block, a knife hand strike I would use differently. I'd come here, then I would use the knife hand to attack his elbow and maybe his carotid artery. So the reason that they're different is that this is a deflection and it's just moving something, so it doesn't have to be real powerful. Your fingers need to be together on a knife hand, and then your thumb needs to be bent. It doesn't. If you bring it all the way over, that's now a ridge hand.
Ms. Key, show them in the screen a little bit closer, because I know that makes a big difference. You break your fingers and all that if you don't do it right.
Pressing block can be fingers open, relaxed thumb, but a knife hand, the fingers should be together as much as you can get them together, and the thumb bent.
Strike?
And I'm going to strike on this padded part of my hand. I'm not going to strike on this outer edge because I'll break my hand. So if I'm going to use it on him, especially, I'm not going to turn my hand this way because now that rotates this bone. These bones are not very big. They break real easy. But I'm going to bring the padded part of my arm, almost like a heel palm is both of these padded parts. Mm-hmm. Knife hand is just this padded part right here on the outside edge of your hand.
Boom.
So then I would strike.
That's when you were teaching me a long time ago, that was one of my favorite strikes was the... Actually, I would come in the opposite way, but...
Well, opposite way is ridge hand.
Ridge hand, yeah.
This is a ridge hand. This is a knife hand. There's four knife hands. Knife hand upward, punch in my face. I come up. He punches. That's inside, and then this would be outside. And then there's a downward also.
You can't see it, obviously, on the radio, but come next week, it'll be on video, and you check it out. So we're just going flow by flow here.
Yeah. So there's
I'll tell you what, let's turn around this way so they can see it on the video on the opposite direction. So if I want to throw a punch at you, right?
I come up. Rising up is a rising knife hand block. He punches with that hand. I come in. It's an inside, goes from the outside of my body to the inside. Now I finish it with the outward knife hand, which I would attack his carotid artery. And I like the knife hands and I like pressing blocks because my fingers are already open. I can grab, and then I can come in with the elbows, knee, whatever I need to do. The downward knife hand, let's say he's punching low, it would just come down like that, and I like that because then I can...
Break my arm is what she's doing, okay?
I can do a lock of some sort. But just remember, the difference between the pressing is the fingers can be relaxed because you're deflecting something. And when you do a pressing block, or when I do a pressing block, I always try to move out of the way, too, because that helps my block. A knife hand strike can be a strike, but all our blocks and strikes can be attacks, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you're concerned about personal safety, let's say, for example, you've got your gun, but you don't have access to your gun. I was talking about bug out bodies, stuff that's on you. Well, the martial arts is something you always have with you wherever you are. So if you're interested in doing some form of tactics that can help you push off an attack, or Ms. Key can square you away. Ms. Key, tell them how to get a hold of you real quick.
254-721-2775. And parents of iTiger Kids in Rockdale, Texas, at elementary, junior high, or high school, the school is going to be sponsoring a self-defense class that I'm going to teach starting April 9th. So keep that in mind.
Keep your powder dry and God bless.